All right, let's get rolling here, guys. Yeah, cool to be here. Hey, I wasn't great at distributing these sheets and stuff, so if does anyone need one, I can grab one for you. It's on a different chair or something, but we're good. Okay. All right, cool. Hey, if we don't know each other, my name is Bill. I am loved by Jesus. I'm not sure why he chose to do that, but. And he did, and I'm so thankful, and he's allowed me to love him too, and it's not always the prettiest ride, but he's got me, and I thank him for that as often as I remember it. So I help pastor here at Fox River, and I got a family at home, and the earlier session I did here, they my daughter gave me a ring during the session, so we'll see if that happens again. It was cool, but yeah, I get to lead them, you know, in their walks with Jesus also. And I really look forward to these next few minutes that we have together, guys. I really, really do. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. So the principle behind that, I'm thankful you're here is what I'm trying to say. So very thankful you're here. I look forward to God working. God is definitely going to work through this. No shadow of a doubt through that. So with that said, let's start off in prayer, all right? Father, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for each man here. God, we have come to meet with you. And God, by your grace, you've shown us a few things about yourself. We read them. We experience them. And God, we know that you're faithful. And we know that as often as you allow us to come into your presence, Lord, that's... You meet us right there. And God, we look forward to that right now. God, I pray that, you know, not because there's just an incredible teaching, not because us in this room are able to hear with just, you know, we're just the smartest hearers that ever existed, not because of that, but because of your goodness, Lord, I pray that that this might mark a turning point or a mile mark or a benchmark in our lives, God, where we go from this place, from this afternoon, together, and things change from this point, God, that we can pray with that blessed assurance, with confidence, with expectation, and Father, by your grace, that your prayers, or our prayers to you, God, that you might answer them and reveal yourself even more fully to us. Thank you, God. We love you. Amen. All right. God is good, and he's so, so good, and yeah, he's awesome. I mean, so many words we could throw in there. He's good, and we're going to lean into him. I'm going to read a formal description just to set the tone here for the next few minutes. You may have read this before in the description of what this is, but prayer is more than blind hope, okay? Prayer is a gift from God. It's a way for us to walk with him, all right, and enjoy time with his spirit, to walk with him as he moves, all right, as he answers the outcries of our hearts. And for those of us who are called his... All right, the outcries of our hearts, man, by God's grace, every day they get closer and closer and closer to the outcries of his hearts. And that's where we see prayers answered. When our desire lines up with his desire, and then he just pours it out, right? Just pours it out, right? Prayer is meant to be effective. Prayer is not meant to be routine. Prayer is not meant to be ineffective. God designed prayer so that when we come to the good Father, he meets his children, and he answers prayers. That's how it's supposed to work. That's what we see in the pages of Scripture every time. That's why we see Jesus teaching on prayer. He says that much to his followers. Right? He says, pray anything in my name, I'll give it to you. That's how it's supposed to work. Okay? So if we're struggling with this idea of, I just don't know if prayers really, really work, amen. That is not true. They work. Now, we're going to address a couple, take a few minutes to get there, but we're going to get into some what blocks prayers, all right? And that'll be relevant for each man in this room. There are some things that hinder our prayers. We'll get there in a second, all right? But prayer is meant to be effective. So we're going to turn to the Father in this time. We're going to acknowledge that it's his. We're going to ask him to help us, all right? So God, just help us. Help us, God. We're just asking for help. God, help us to pray effectively for our sons and daughters. So here's a question. Let's start things off like this. All right, here's a question. I'm not trying to blaspheme here, okay? I'm just like, let's use our imaginations, okay? So don't take this too far. Don't carry this away like, oh man, you shouldn't be talking like that. Okay, I realize that. just for a second, imagine that you were God. Why would you answer the prayers of dads, all right, praying for their children? Why would you answer those prayers? And let's just have a discussion here. I mean, if you've got an idea, this is why, if I was God, this is why I would answer a prayer. What is it? Because I've got a list if we need. He what? He loves us. And he answers prayer because he loves us, right? When you love somebody, you answer them when they ask something of you. Absolutely. Okay, what's another reason? There's a lot of them. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, like when we ask for something that he desires to give, that's great. All right, one of my children, they ask me for a hug. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hug you. Okay. It's like, I want to do that. All right. If they ask me for, you know, 20 spankings, I'm like, no, I don't want to give you 20 spankings, you know. Or they ask me for a horse. I don't want to give you a horse. That wasn't on my list for the day, you know. Like I don't want to give. So, but when they ask for something I desire to give them, oh, baby, I'm all in. I think God's the same way. What are some other reasons? Yes, sir. Yeah, he's a dad. Right? He's a father. He knows what it's like. He wants to provide for us in the same way, right? That's a beautiful. And you say, equip? Say, absolutely. Like, I want to equip you. Like if we pray God would, I mean, one thing in Scripture is if we ask God for wisdom, he'll give it, right? So why does he do that? Because he wants to equip us, man. If he gives us wisdom, right, we ask for it, he gives it, then we can use it, all right? And when we use it, other people get to see it, right? So one of the ways, I'll chime in a little bit. One of the ways is, man, when God answers prayer, the whole world gets to see it. That's pretty cool. I mean, God gets to become even more famous and more known. And there's a lot of rumors and lies going around about who God is and what he's like. So when he can answer a prayer, he reveals who he truly is. That's beautiful. Okay. Any other reasons? I got a few more if there aren't any more. But any other reasons that are coming to mind right now? Why would God answer prayers? Wants to heal us. Yeah, he wants to provide help and healing. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. He wants to receive glory, all right? So if he can answer a prayer and help someone or heal somebody or anything in that vein, right, people are going to glorify him. That's awesome. He deserves the glory. That's really good stuff. He wants to strengthen our faith, all right? If I pray to God and he answers me, all of a sudden now my faith, maybe it was here, and now it's going to go up more. It's like, oh, man, God is so good. He answered this prayer. Man, this is great. He showed up. Strengthen my faith, and I'm going to ask him for other things, right? And I'm going to get in the word more, like, ah, God, I just love you so much more. Thank you, right? All right? And he wants to foster Christ-likeness. Okay, if there's a way that God can make us more like himself, if there's a way he can get at my heart, right, and there's a lot of ways that he does this, but one way is through answered prayer. If there's a way he can get in my heart and make me draw even more close to him, oh, he's going to do it, right? He's going to make me more Christ-like, and he does that through answering prayer. All right. Who are our children? All right, how does God see our children? All right, and this is, again, kind of a discussion, so if we got any ideas, let's just throw them out there. When God looks at our children, what does he see? Because that's how we should look at our children. However God sees it, we should look in that same way. How does God see our children? Who are they? All right, are they blessings? Absolutely. Now, they're challenging, too, but they're blessings. Absolutely. They're gifts from God himself. Whoa. Gifts. Almost went down there. Yes, sir. Yeah, and we're gonna touch on that in a few minutes. That's we need right perspective. Okay, we get a few years with our children. All right, if we're lucky, maybe 50 years, if we're lucky, okay? I'm not even sure that's normal, but 50 years, okay? Of those 50 years, we get maybe, I'll just generalize, maybe 20 years with them in the same home, okay? Sometimes less, sometimes more, okay? Very short time. If you just look at you know, 50 years or 20 years, however you want to slice that, you look at that in comparison to eternity with, you know, Lord willing, our kids will be with God for eternity, forever. How much is 50 years or 20 years? I mean, that's just the tiniest slice, isn't it? So, I mean, you kind of look at it. There's a lot of ways to look at it. But when you look at it that way, it's like, yeah, God, they are yours. Okay, and who made them? Yeah, we had a physical role in it, and I'm not trying to get crude or graphic, but just the human role in creating a child, it's there. It's undeniable. But nobody is making children on their own. All right, God opens the womb. God closes the womb. God is the giver of life. We see that many times in Scripture. Listen, God is the author of life. All right, He gives life. Children are His. Okay, all right. They're little versions of their parents usually, which is great in some ways and not so great in other ways. Okay, thankfully God's love and His grace are bigger than that. So some of the downfalls or the bad choices we've made or some of the personality traits that we pass on to them or things that they observe and they learn from us that are maybe in that not-so-good category, God's grace and His love is bigger than that. We take comfort in that, okay? They're made and loved by God. They're not ours. We touched on that. In fact, they're not ours, but everything we have, and we're just kind of exit from this sons and daughters thing for a second, but everything we have is from God, okay? Any power that we have in our home or in the workplace or anything else, any power, any position of authority or influence that we have has been given to us. We see that truth kind of emerge in a conversation that Jesus had with Pontius Pilate. Pilate's like, hey, don't you know I can kill you? Like, you better start answering some questions. And Jesus is like, listen, the only power you have has been given to you. All right, so any power that we have has been given to us, all right? Let's see, what else has God given us? He's given us faith, all right? Any faith that we have has been given to us as a gift. We see that truth kind of emerge in a conversation that Jesus had with Peter, all right? And Peter's like, Jesus, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. And Jesus is like, yeah, you're right. But even the fact that you know that you didn't come up with that crazy idea. Listen, God gave that to you. So even the faith that we have is a gift from God. Any possession that we have it all belongs to Him, right? I mean, that's the whole deal with money. Why does Jesus teach so much about money? It's not ours to begin with. He's like, man, this thing just got a stranglehold on your heart. The thing's killing you. It's dragging you down. Just give it. Your Father is a giver, right? Just give it. Be more like Him. I want to teach you in this, right? Nothing we have is ours. It's all His. He's the giver of life. We see that in Genesis when He made everything, all right? We see that in Psalm 36 in particular, all right? Children, once again, we talked about this, but children are a gift from God as well. We see that explicitly mentioned in Psalm 127, all right? Our children are not ours. One thing I want to just bring to the surface here, this is easier said than done, obviously, and especially, I don't want to come across as like simplistic and, oh, it's just simple, just do this, you know. I know there's circumstances here. I get that, okay. But the truth remains, we got to surrender our children to God. We have to. Okay. So many of us have such strong desires, and they're good desires. Okay. I want the best for my children. They're going through this tough time, perhaps. I just want them to come out of that. Like maybe our children don't know Jesus as their Savior, okay? And we're like, man, it's just the one thing. If I could have anything, God, that they would know You as their Lord and Savior. Those are good things to desire, okay? But we got to surrender that to the Lord, because not one person who has ever walked the planet has ever had the capability of saving someone else. You can't change this thing. You can't change it in yourself. You can't change it in someone else, especially. You can't. The Holy Spirit does that. So let's surrender our kids, the things that we want for our children, all right? Let's surrender those things. Let's just lay it all at the foot of the cross. Jesus is all Yours. Now, I'm going to do my part, and that's what we're talking about. I'm going to do my part, but God, You need to come through. I'm depending on You. When we realize that truth, guys, here's the beauty of it. When we realize that truth, what happens? We're driven to Him all the more. The desperation that we had, like, God, I'm leaning on You in this. When we realize that truth fully, that we got to surrender and He really affects that change, man, then we become even more desperate. All right? Any dependence that we had, right? Declaration of independence, right? It's like the opposite of that. It's our declaration of dependence. All right? God, I'm depending on You. I can't see this happen without You. If You decide for some reason, Lord, to just exit the picture, this is never going to happen. When we get comfortable with that, we just lean into Him all the more. All right? Let's surrender our children to Him. Now, who are we? All right? As parents, who are we? As uncles, as grandpas, who are we? All right? What are a couple roles that emerge here? Let's just talk this one out, too, because there's a lot of fill in the blanks here if we choose to. What are some roles that we fill? God has put us in these children's lives, what roles do we fill? Teaching is humongous. Where are these kids learning? They're learning, right? A lot of ways, okay. But man, the main way they learn is through their moms and dads, all right? And dads have a special role in that, all right? That's why we see so many problems, okay? Because dad's either not around or he's there and he's just not doing what he's supposed to be doing, okay? And if we're all honest, we probably fall into that category in some capacity, okay? No one stands innocent right there. Again, don't let that frustrate you. Just lean into God all the more, okay? Lean into him. But we teach our children. Lord willing, we teach them about Jesus, okay? We teach them with our words. We teach them with our actions, all right? What else do we do? We teach them, and what else? What other roles do we fill? What's up, Don? Read to them, yeah, right? We teach them through reading, too, and we share time, good time with them. Yeah, absolutely. What other things? We got anything? Provide is huge, right? Where are they getting these clothes from? Us. Where are they getting the food from? Us. You know, where are they getting the shelter, right? From us. Yeah, well, okay, God, yeah, and he's chosen to channel those blessings through moms and dads, all right? Dads in particular, in a traditional way, at least. Absolutely. Yeah, let's not pretend for a second that God is not the ultimate provider, okay? No, that was good. That was a good clarification. It really was. We need to remember that. Protect is huge, all right? Somebody's messing with a little one, it's not okay. If I lose my life in the process of defending my child, so be it. And we would all do that. Man, I don't want that to happen, but if it came to it, I would do it. Yeah. Please? Mm-hmm. Okay. She gave her life. That's awesome, man. Where's that desire come from? Yeah, because you know what he did, right? And he gave it all, right? I'll give my life so that somebody else can have life. That's a horrible story that she died, but it's beautiful that she lived and she got to demonstrate. Anyone who hears that, all right, by God's grace, they might think of Jesus, how he gave his life. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. No, it's... Man. Sad but beautiful all at the same time. That's the world we live in, right? We see things and it's tragedy and beauty sometimes all the same thing, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. That's love. That's love right there. Let's take a break. Why don't you turn to your neighbor? We're gonna spend like 1 minute, okay? So tell quick stories if you can. If you're a quick storyteller, this is your time. All right. Recall the first time you took your first child home, if you were able to do that. Just recall that time and tell your neighbor about that. You might not know him, so introduce yourself first. And take 30 seconds. Let the other person take 30 seconds. Talk about what that was like. What did you feel, and that sort of thing. I cannot. No. All right. And then the next question, and maybe one person just talked and the other person didn't get a chance because that was so quick. If that's the case, maybe the other person can answer this one. All right. Discuss a time where you gave your child something. Maybe they asked you or maybe they didn't. You just gave them. All right. But describe a time where you gave them something. Talk about how you felt and talk about how they felt when they received it. All right. Go ahead and share that for like 1 minute. All right. All right. Yeah. All right, guys, 10-second warning. All right. I'm going to read a short passage from Luke 11, and I hope, but before we enter that, you know, I just hope we were able to kind of rekindle some of those feelings and some of that love that we have for our children and that they received from us and just the hopes and aspirations we have for them. I mean, I know when I think of bringing my firstborn home, Gwenny, I remember being scared, like, oh my gosh, like, I mean, some bad things could happen if I don't get myself in line here. And also some of those blessings as well, you know, those hopes that I like, man, I was praying in a different way, you know. God, I want the best for my daughter, you know. And just some of those feelings are just amazing. So let those kind of, you know, hang out in your mind and as we read through this, all right. This is Luke chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, his disciples, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. Okay, so picture, you know, you go to your friend's house, and you're like knocking on the door. He comes to the door, right? You're like, hey, give me some bread. It's like midnight or 1 in the morning, right? Like I need some bread. So, a visitor came, and I don't have any bread for them. I need some bread or you know, I'm all out of extra pillows. Do you have an extra pillow I could borrow? I mean, you know, something like that, all right? And suppose the one inside answers, all right? So your friend comes to the door, and he says this, don't bother me. The door is already locked. Like, it's the middle of the night, man, all right? And my children and I are in bed, all right? Picture like maybe some of us live now or have lived in maybe a studio apartment, all right? If you've been overseas, a lot of homes are like this in poverty. Stricken areas. It's just like a one-room house kind of thing, okay? So that's the idea here. That was the culture. So basically, the friend is opening the door saying, what do you want? Don't bother me. What do you do? Like, everybody's right there in the only room in the house. They're all asleep. I can't help you. If I do anything, I'm going to wake them all up. It's like 1 in the morning, right? So that's the idea going on. The door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. All right, so that's the story. Now Jesus says this. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give the bread because of friendship, he's like, man, I can't help you. My whole family's sleeping right here. Even though he won't help you because of the friendship, because of your shameless audacity, because of your persistence, all right? Like, man, I've got a visitor. He just came. I know you said no, but like, seriously, can you help me? I know we're friends, right? Can you just help me? And the guy's pretty soon like, man, you're just so persistent. You won't shut up. You won't leave. Like, you're going to wake up my whole family anyway. Because of your persistence, all right, or as NIV says, shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need, all right? So I say to you, this is Jesus talking. So I say to you, so he exits the story, and he's taking the story and is applying it to real life right now. So here's what Jesus says. Well, that was interesting. Just skipped. There we go. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Right? He's talking about us asking of the Father. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, Father, and he's going to prove the point now, all right? Listen, if you ask God something, he's going to give it, right? You knock on the door like it's a metaphor for you're approaching God in prayer. God's going to answer, okay? Let me prove that to you, right? Check this out. Here's what Jesus says in verse 11. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, are you going to give him a snake instead? All right? Yeah, and some people are like, no, I don't think anyone said that. All right? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Like, that's just crazy. And everybody's like, man, I would never do that. All right? If you, this is verse 13 now, Luke 11, 13. If you then, though you are evil, all right, he's not saying like you, I know what you've done, you're wicked people. Like, just before you came here, you robbed a bank. Like, he's not saying that. He's saying by human nature, okay? Even though you, apart from Christ's working in you, right? You, by human nature, even though you are evil, all right? You are sinful man. Even though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. And everybody's like, yeah, I do know. If they ask me for an egg, I'm going to give them an egg. Yeah, I suppose I do know how to do that. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So even though you, who are flawed, you know how to take care of your children. How much more will God take care of his children? Like God will give even his very spirit to those who ask. So God, like when you ask for an egg, you give your, or a child asks for egg, you give him an egg. God, all right, there's probably a limit. Like if my child asked me for $10,000, all right, well, A, I don't have it. But if I did, I would be like, no, I don't think so, because you're only 11, and I'm not giving that kind of money to you, okay? Is there a limit like that with God? Part of what's happening here is Jesus saying, no, God's going to give you even his very spirit. Like, he's not only good that he'll give you what you ask for, but he's also good in the way that there's no limit. He'll give you everything, even his very spirit. He's going to give his life for you, all right? That's how good God is. Even though there's bad news, here's a principle behind the text. Even though there's bad news, there's good news in God. Okay, and we got to remember that when we approach him in prayer. Okay, even though there's a lot of bad stuff going on in here, a lot of stuff going on bad and here, God is good. And that's where our confidence lies. That's why we approach him in prayer confidently. Now, we kind of see some of this in the passage in Luke 11. That's also in Matthew 7, by the way. It's kind of a parallel passage. Who is God? All right, so Luke 11, Matt 7. But who is God? All right, what is he like? God is good, right? We said that already, but God, we started off that way. God is good. God is great. I mean, all those different ways we could start, but he is good. And yeah, God is a servant. Absolutely. He gave his life, right? He is the giver of all good things. We talked about that. Now, check this out. He's a lover of our soul. And listen to this. Maybe you've never heard it quite this way. Maybe you've never thought of it this way. But let me, if that's you, let me introduce an idea to you. God would rather, and we see the evidence of this, God would rather die than live for eternity without you. I'll say it again. God would rather die, and he did, Okay, God would rather die, experience death, all right, experience sin, all right, experience, Jesus experienced that separation from his Father. He would rather go through all of that than live without us forever. What drives someone to do that? Love. God is love. He's good and he's love. Some people give because of friendship. You're my friend. I'll give you something, you know? Okay. Some people give out of persistence. Man, you've just been bugging me forever. Okay, I'll give you the, you know, whatever. God doesn't give simply out of friendship. That's part of it, but not simply because of friendship. He doesn't give because we nag him all the time. That's part of it, but that's not the bigger picture. God doesn't give out of obligation. Nobody's twisting God's arm to do anything. He doesn't have to do it. He always chooses to love. Listen, God does it because he's good. Again, this is where our confidence lies. When we approach the Father in prayer for our sons and daughters, on the basis of what? I mean, where will we come up with, man, I can go to God and ask him for something? It's because he's good. And that doesn't change. That doesn't change if I do this or that. He's still good. That's where my confidence is. Jesus still died for me. I don't understand it, but because I've surrendered my life to him, because I've chosen to follow him, because I've been washed clean by the blood of Christ, God sees me as perfect. He sees, instead of me, he sees the perfection and righteousness of his son, Jesus, when he looks at me. And that is the basis for how I approach him. We got to understand that, because if we get all that mixed up, here's what happens. Oh, God, you're not going to hear my prayer. I don't know about this one. And that's just nuts. That's just nuts. We need to go to him and count. He is the basis for our prayers. And there's a ton of theology behind that. There's really cool stuff with the altar of incense and the Old Testament tabernacle. And, I mean, just really cool stuff. I really want to go to, I'll give you one thing. This is just fascinating. I won't teach about it, so it might drive you nuts. But anyways, the gifts that Jesus received when he was a baby, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense was actually one of the key ingredients in that incense, which is the prayers. Represents the, when the incense was burned in the Old Testament, it's the prayers of the saints rising up. And so anyways, but just like, it's beautiful. It's so deep, so deep. But you have to take my word for it. Don't have time to talk about it. God gives to those who ask, even his very spirit. Let's ask God to move in the lives of our children. Let's ask him to move in the hearts of our children, okay? We may not be perfect parents. I think this is in your notes, right? Might not be perfect parents, but he calls each of us to be praying parents. Praying parents. We're not perfect. We're not perfect in this moment as parents. We're not perfect certainly in the past as parents, okay? And some of us, only 6 months we've been parents. Still, 6 months, man, I've screwed up in 6 months. I remember the first 6 months I was a parent. Holy cow, probably made more mistakes then than any other 6 months, you know, in being a dad. But, man, we don't, listen, but he asked us to be praying parents. Now, let's see. Each of you should have one of these pieces of paper. You can use this. You can use your own paper. You can not even participate in this. You can just listen. If you really want to, you don't even have to listen, right? No, nobody's forcing you to do any of this. But if you so choose, I'm gonna. One thing I would love to do for all of us is that when we leave here, we can take an idea with us. Okay, so this is an idea. This is not a formula. This is not a surefire, like this is not the only way to do it. It's just an idea, okay? You can take this idea with you, okay? So here's what I would ask that you do. Write the names. It can be one, it can be 20, whatever you want. Write the names of your children and important little ones in your life, or maybe they're grown at this point. That's fine. But write the names and leave some space kind of in between them if you can. So in mine, I'd have, you know, the four names of my kids kind of spaced out on there a little bit. Just do that real quick. And it was too easy. Yeah, it was Asher, done. All All right, we'll come back to that in a couple minutes. So just writing those names right now. Part of what we just began is, and I don't know if everybody has tried this at one time or another, but I don't do this too often. I need to do this a lot more. But actually create a list. Sometimes it's a list of names. Sometimes it's a list of kind of things we can pray for. We're going to combine those two ideas with this. And it really helps guide us when we come to the Father in prayer. It gives a little more structure. If you're someone who struggles with, man, I'm trying to pray, I just not sure what to pray for, this will help with some of that, okay? That our prayers might be effective, okay? If we can name our prayers, then we can pray with a little more certainty, okay? Just to teach on this a little bit, if we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us and with us, okay? So we don't have to freak out like, oh, man, I never made a list. Is that why my answers aren't, or that's why I'm not getting an answer to prayer? No. No, it's not. I'm just trying to help if that's something you struggle with, okay? How do we pray? All right, how do we pray? We pray in the name of Jesus. Now, here's what that means, all right? And Jesus taught this, by the way. He says, ask anything in my name and it will be given to you, okay? It doesn't mean I declare my wish list, all right? New Ferrari, new Lamborghini, you know, and then I tack on the name of Jesus at the end and, oh, gonna get it. It's not what it means. It's not what it means. When Jesus said, here's what it means. Praying in the name of Jesus, all right? It means asking for what God desires to give, all right? It's coming in line with God's will, okay? So when I ask in the name of Jesus, I'm thinking, God, what do you desire? I'm going to pray for that. And that's when we see these blessings, these outpourings of grace, okay, so often, these crazy prayers. And when we all hear stories of this, okay, some of us have those stories that we can claim as our own, but we hear these sensational stories. How do these come about? It's when people are praying in accordance with what God wants to give, okay? I'm going to name off two humongous areas that when we pray in this way, we are going to see prayers answered, because this is exactly what God declares over and over and over again in his word. Two humongous areas are this. God desires that everybody would come to faith, a saving faith in him. If we know people that don't know Jesus as their Savior, we can pray for those people for them to know, and we are going to see God move in an unmistakable way. Now, I don't have my mind wrapped around this whole idea, but I do know this. Things change when saints pray, okay? In other words, something is going to happen when I pray. If I were never to pray, if I was just to sit over here and never pray, things wouldn't happen the same way. When I enter in, by faith, when I enter into prayer, in intercession for others, when I pray for others, when I pray for myself, things change. Again, I don't have it all figured out, but I know it's true. I've seen it. I've read about it. I've heard. I can't even tell you hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of stories. I've read them every time. Scripture teaches that too, right? The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, right? James 5:17 or something really close to there. James 5:17, right? When we enter in by faith into prayer, God, it just sparks something. It triggers something and God works. God's good. Okay. Yes, he is. Amen. So how do we pray? We pray in the name of Jesus, all right? What does he want? Those two areas are that people will come to saving faith. The other area is that people will become more like him, all right? So he saves us, sure. All right, but that's not the end of the story. Now, this is the part we don't hear about too often. You know, God, you've saved me, and sometimes the road stops there. And I fell into this category for a lot of years, okay? So I'm not pointing the finger. Okay, but some of us in this room might fall into this category right now. Man, God, you saved me. I remember that. I'm sure of it, right? My faith, I'm sure of that. But man, it's been a bunch of years, and I don't know, you can fill in the blanks, all right? But it's been a bunch of years, and I just haven't changed a whole lot. That's not God's desire. God's desire is that we would become more and more and more like him, becoming more Christ-like. So if we pray to that effect, he's going to answer. I've got people in my life right now that I'm praying for, and I'm not seeing any fruit of that. We're going to get into that. Don't be discouraged. We're going to get into that in a minute. All right? But God desires to make people, his children, make them more Christ-like. So pray for those two things. Then we might walk with him. All right? Next to those names that you wrote down, go ahead and write, again, this is not a formula. It's just an idea. Right next to each name, write And leave space in between these three words, okay? Write past, like P-A-S-T, past. Leave a little bit of space and put present, like present time, all right, present. Little bit of space, and then future. So past, present, future. So a little bit of space in between there. Past, present, future. This is an idea you can take with you. Next to past, write healing. So past healing. Past healing. Next to present, write faith. Present faith. So past healing, present faith, future blessing. Future blessing. There are things in our past. There's things in our children's past they need healing for. You can't go back and change it. I know we agonize about that sometimes. Man, I wish I'd go back. And we just hang out there in our minds, just think about it, dwell upon it. Like, what if? Oh, da, da. But we got to stop that. We got to stop. Okay, let's process it in a healthy way, but not in an unhealthy way, because we can't go back. But what we can do is we can approach the Father. We can ask Him, all right? And I would suggest this, okay? I don't like to do this. I force myself to do it. I would recommend this for all of us men in the room. Force yourself to just identify what it is. Just don't dance around it. If there's something terrible that happened, just name it. Just come. Bring these prayers to the King, all right? Just, God, this is what, like, you know it already, but here it is, God. I'm just coming to terms. I'm confessing. You know, confession means I agree with God. Have you ever heard that? That's what confession actually means. So God, I agree with you. This is ugly. This is just bad. God, can you heal it? I'm just coming clean. Okay? God will provide healing in that way. Pray for their current faith. All right? Are there areas of struggle that you see in your child, in your son or daughter? They struggle in their faith in this area. All right, or in this way. Maybe they're saved, but they're just not growing. God, I pray that you might increase their faith. Maybe they're super young, all right? Like Asher, 6 months old, right? Like God, I don't know what his faith looks like right now. I can't see it, but God, I pray that you might increase it. Just keep working in his life, all right? And then in the future, what does God desire for the future of all people? He desires that they will be blessed. Now, that takes a lot of different forms, okay? Don't hear me saying he wants everybody to be rich and just have tons of money. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But he wants them to be blessed. Where is the source of blessing? It's in Jesus Christ, okay? So, God, that I might have you and I might have more of you. Let's pray that for the future in our children's lives and name some specific things, okay? Ask God, how would you have me pray? You might, I'm just giving an example, okay? God, maybe that my child will be a missionary, that he would go somewhere, maybe it's here in the States, but he or she would go somewhere and actually tell people about Jesus Christ in a place where people don't know about Jesus Christ. I mean, don't be afraid to name certain things, okay? Future blessing. Now, what can block our prayers? What can block our prayers, okay? I'm going to name off a couple areas here. And these are going to hit home for some of us. When you hear these areas, here's what I want you to do. Here's what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. If we don't have the gospel, if we don't have the good news, here's what we do. When we come across something bad or if something gets brought into the light and it doesn't look too good, here's what we do. Oh, I got to run away and hide. God, that's bad. You know, with the gospel, with Jesus Christ, here's what we can do. We can come to him in that. So when I name off these areas, if something's like, oh man, that hits me right between the eyes, don't cower back. Because of your confidence in Christ and what he's done, approach the Father with that. Confess it. All right? Here's some areas that can block our prayer life. Like God actually will not hear our prayers and actually not answer our prayers. This is scriptural. Look it up if you're like, oh man, that just grinds against me. This is actually true. Look it up in scripture. There are things that block. Here's what they are. Sin. Are there areas of sin in your life? Are there areas of selfishness in your life? All right, sin, selfishness. All right, sin's the first one. Selfishness is the second one. Here's the third one. There are more. I'll name three, though. Here's the third one. Mistreating someone. Scripture talks explicitly about husbands mistreating their wives. Okay? Are you mistreating someone? Do you have a conflict or issue with somebody else that's unresolved? Have you wronged somebody? There are several passages of Scripture on this. Here's the basic idea. If I have something going on over here, an area of sin or selfishness or mistreatment of somebody, if I've got this over here and I say, okay, God, can you help me? See the inconsistency? See, I got this area over here. I'm just acting like a fool, right? And I'm not going to address that, but God, I'm going to come to you, all right? That's nuts. That's a problem. Here's what God says over and over again. He's like, man, take care of that. Jesus even taught on this. He's like, man, if you're coming to the altar, you're about to give your sacrifice, and you know you've got an unresolved issue with your brother, leave your sacrifice there. Go settle that issue. Then come back and give your sacrifice. Like, let's get this right, and let's come to God in integrity of faith. All right? These things block our prayers because there's inconsistency. It says, God, can you give me this? I'm not willing to submit to you here, but can you help me with this? You guys see that? Very logical, but we don't want to admit that, okay? But again, if that grinds again, you're just not sure if you, look it up. Look it up, it's there. The other thing I want to touch on real quick, I suppose we do have a few minutes, so last time I went way over, so I'm in acceleration mode. Yeah, so we don't have too much time, but we got a few more minutes than last time. Another area is discouragement, okay? So if we feel discouraged, here's, by God's grace, I want to encourage us today. Here's what we see sometimes. When we pray, in particular for our sons and daughters, it's so easy to get discouraged because, man, God, I thought you would answer quicker, all right? And God, I thought you would answer in this particular way, all right? So, God, when you don't answer as quickly as I want, and when you don't answer in the exact way that I had kind of played out in my mind, man, I get discouraged, okay? When we come to God in prayer, we are submitting. We are humbling ourselves. We are asking for him. It's no different. If you come to a king, like if you're in a country that has a king, queen, and all that, like when you come into the king's presence, you don't come in demanding things. You come into their presence, and it's like, king, I know that you're great, and I know you could just like hold out your scepter like this, and I would die or something, or make some kind of motion, and I'd die. So I just come. I know you're king, and I'm not. I'm just submitting to you, and in that submission, I'm asking you for something. It's no different with our Heavenly Father, okay? So we want to come into his presence, and we want to be consistent, all right? Don't be discouraged if things don't go your way. Don't get frustrated. Submit to him in his timing and in the way he answers it. Another way we can get discouraged is, okay, now if I plant an apple seed, what's going to happen? Probably an apple tree is going to come up, okay, as long as it gets water and that sort of thing. In the same way, whatever we plant is going to come up as a metaphor in our children's lives. So we can't get discouraged when we see the following. Man, they made a poor choice. They made a poor choice. They chose to rob a bank or something. Let's get extreme, right? They robbed a bank. And God, because they made a poor choice, and what happens when we make a poor choice? Some bad consequences happen, right? You make a choice, there's consequences. So God, even though they made a bad choice, right? I'm instead of getting discouraged, let's not let that discourage us. There are natural ways that things happen. You make a poor choice, consequences happen. Don't get discouraged by that. The idea is this. And we said it before, say it again. Our confidence is not what we see with our human eyes. All right? Our confidence is in Christ. He has given us eyes that are not human. He's given us eyes of faith. All right? Let us walk, not by sight, but let us walk by faith. All right? Faith in the Son of God, the one who rescued me, the one who saved me, the one who is good, the one who answers prayers. The one who, when I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins and purify me of all unrighteousness. All right, that's the one I have faith in. All right? So don't be discouraged. I'm trying to encourage you guys. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Keep coming to him. And it's really a gift. All right. When we get discouraged, all right, and realize this, there's a target on our children's backs. The enemy is like gunning for them. All right. Listen, if the enemy can't hit, like we're all here in the same room, we're talking about prayer. All right. A weapon of the saints. All right. We're talking about prayer. He can't get at us. What's he going to do? Just like anybody through the past 6,000 years, what are they going to do? They can't get at you. They're going to get at your family. Right. It's no different. Where do you think these tactics come from? They come from the enemy anyway, right? So he's going to employ these. They got targets on their back. We stand in the gap as fathers. We got to protect our children, like we said before, right? Protect them. We got to realize what's going on. We're not struggling against, this isn't a human element that we're fighting against. This is spiritual, all right? The enemy is coming for them. Let's be encouraged. And when we realize that, here's what we start to get a really good grasp of. Man, I cannot effect change. I can't fix this. When we realize that, come to terms with that, here's what we do. We get even more desperate. We lean into God even more. And that's a healthy thing. Enemy wants to discourage us, but by his grace, here's what happens. When we realize, man, we're no match for the enemy. I'm no match for this circumstance. Man, I made a lot of mistakes. I taught him a lot of bad things. I can't reverse this trend. When we realize that, we seek God even more. That's the proper reaction. That's the godly reaction. We just, God, I need you even more. I'm more desperate. I'm more dependent. I need you. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. And keep praying. So that idea with the cards, I would encourage you, we're officially out of time now. I would encourage you to, it just went so fast. I would encourage you to be explicit. This isn't something you got to show to anybody, okay? But as much as you're willing, name those things exactly and bring those to the Father. If there's areas of our life that we need to confess scripturally, they might be blocking things. Like, man, why is this not working? Why is the prayers not working? Am I doing something wrong? Maybe. Pray about that. Don't take my word for it, okay? Like I said, pray about it. Confess those to the Father. Keep praying. We stand in the gap as fathers. We stand there. We're the only ones on the planet, in all of history, on all the face of the earth, that have the privilege of being called dad for some of these, all right? Or grandparents, or uncle, or whatever. We stand in the gap. There's nobody else. Listen, leave here with this truth. There's nobody else. There's not another person on the planet that ever walked the face of the earth that has the position that you have in this child's life. There's no one else. If you don't do it, there's nobody else. Nobody cares about them like you. Nobody loves them like you. There's not one person other than you. And God has designed it that way. Let's steward that responsibility well. And let's go to the Father, the only one that can make things change in our lives and in our hearts. Let's go to him in confidence in Christ, not in ourselves, but in confidence in Christ. Keep praying, gentlemen. Let me pray you out here. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you that we, by your grace, we get to maximize every single minute here, God. And Father, we look forward to our prayer life being strengthened and being more effective leaving this place. We thank you for the truth that we gleaned from your word, God, and we thank you that your word is powerful. God, we thank you that your word pierces our hearts. It pricks our hearts. Even though it's lighter, it goes deeper than even the spear that went in Jesus' side, God. Your truth gets at our heart, right? And it splits things, right? It's sharp. It's so sharp. It divides so many things. God, we take comfort in that. We don't feel threatened by that. We take comfort in that, God, that you're different and we lean on you. God, please come through in the lives of our sons and daughters, we pray. Help us to keep praying and help us to have once again confidence in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless these men as they go forth. I hope to see them again one day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, guys. Cool. Yeah.